welcome to Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, the podcast about the mobile game Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes. I am your host, as always, Ednar, and I'm joined by both my wonderful co-hosts tonight on our new awesome recording night. We started recording on Sundays now just because, well, we're adults and we have other things to do. So I'm joined tonight
we
by...
We have lives.
We have lives. So I'm joined tonight by, you heard him, that's the wonderful Coleman. How you doing, Coleman?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing just grand.
Clinky.
Yeah. I'm doing good. It's been a fun week. Fun week so far. Kind of. but Dave, how are you doing? We got Dave back with us this week.
Yay, woo. Sorry. I missed so many, but I am back. I'm good. Beat the heroic HAT. I'm so used to saying that. The heroic Sith Triumphant Raid today for the first time, Yavin. So that's good. There we go. Woohoo.
Yay. Okay,
I have those six Treyarch shards.
And
there you go.
How long are you going to be sitting on those six Treyarch shards?
I guess we'll find out if and when the nerf comes through. Maybe try to get one more in before that happens.
Yeah, I'd be like, how quickly can you hit start over?
I know. It probably won't be for another 2 days. Tuesday we'll be able to start one, so I don't know. Hopefully the nerf doesn't come in before then.
Okay, and Coleman, you've beaten Heroic a few times by now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's just like, oh yeah, of course we have. Like, you wouldn't even have to ask this. So,
I'm in, like, the best guild ever.
The best guild ever.
Yeah.
The best one. He's in the best one. Did you know that?
I mean, he was in our guild. He was in our guild, so does that mean we're crap?
No, we could be technically we could just be the second best.
Okay. All
right. Right.
I think Coleman's trash talking us.
No, it's okay. I don't get combative about that.
I do with Coleman.
Well, you get combative. You get combative with Coleman, but that's
you get
just
combative about everything.
Okay, yeah, this is true.
That's just like based. That's just life in general with Coleman. You get combative.
Yes, he's the bane of my existence, but I still like having him around.
Well, duh. I mean, ever since I told CG not to release Hondo.
True.
Okay, the end of the show, I'm going to give people the heads up. Like, the last, like, 5-10 minutes, I'm going to talk about the Star Wars Rebels. Coleman, I know you've seen it. Dave, I know you haven't. So if
I'll pop off, and then
you
guys
if you'll
can
pop off, me and Coleman will talk about it, because I have thoughts. But I digress. We'll go into the next thing. So since you were not here last episode, Dave.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about the new characters. So we've got them. We've seen them. Mm-hmm. People have tested them out. How do you feel about the new characters? No, the two we can actually play. The third one, you only have six shards.
Obviously. I didn't get a chance to say it. I mean, Trey's kit obviously looks like it's going to be ungodly amazing, so that's gonna suck if they nerf this and I have to wait even longer for her. But obviously that's still a ways away. Even if I continue to do heroic, it likely what would be six shards of raids can be a while. But Scion seems great. I mean, I didn't pay for him, and I just have other gear ring priorities right now, so he's behind. I just want to finish a couple other characters first, but I think I probably will gear him. The teams I face with him are good. The thing is on offense, I still have no issue against Zeta Palp teams, because Jedi Training Ray on offense is still, doesn't lose against really anything except for Night Sisters, and they're gone now with Palp teams coming up. So, I can tell how fun he would be to play at on offense, like, and to have in there. And I recognize against other Palp teams, he certainly gives you the optimal build with that taunt, and just how, he can just go off on teams if, later in the round, once he gets his kind of ultimate off. So he's a great character. I think obviously goes right to the top of the list of, you know, probably best 15, 20-ish characters in the game. I think he is probably that good, but I don't think he's super necessary right now in Arena, but I think he probably will be over time. I do think, though, that it's – I don't know. I'm interested in Coleman. Did you get him to 7?
Yes. Yes, I did. I'm waiting on Zeta.
Did you put him in? Do you have him in?
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that what's the optimal build right now for you? And because here's what I've been going back and forth. There's a variety of different palp teams on my shard. I mean, what's your build right now?
I'm testing a few things right now, but so right now I'm running palp lead, Sion, Bader, Nihilus, and Stark. Okay. Kind of weird, but
yeah, that is a weird. You don't hear that often.
No, but there's a thing I found out today, because I think I just went up against my very first Zeta Scion, because I don't have him Zeta'd yet. Mm. It's very interesting, because once you have him Zeta'd, you don't want to put a second tank in that team.
Okay, and I explain why.
Yeah, why is that? I'm curious.
So, once Scion has his Zeta, it goes all at the end of each turn. Scion inflicts pain for 3 turns on enemies who damage him on
that
turn.
Yeah, you want people to hit him. Yeah, all right. Yeah,
and with that second tank, you have the option of hitting him or the other tank. You don't want them hitting the other tank. You want them always hitting Scion. And when people have pain on them, they're gonna have to hit him, which inflicts pain. Which I found, once I started doing that, I could only target him, and then he had hatred by turn 2.
Hmm.
Which is a pain in the butt.
All right.
That makes sense. Yeah.
That makes sense.
In reality, it's all about now finding who that fifth is. So I think swapping out maybe for Thrawn, I've seen him work a little bit, but his AI does go a little wacky, and you can stop him. So I think that's why I'm kind of playing around with it, testing out a few things, because I'm not 100% sure who that fifth is yet, because I don't have the Zeta.
Yeah, my fallback will always be Thrawn, because you can't dodge Fracture.
Mm-mm. And it's like a really good debuff.
Like, it's one of those things where he has an ability that can just...
It stops everything.
Yeah, it stops everything. So if all else fails, throw him in there. You're not going to do bad with him.
No.
Nope.
I'm thinking, though, I might try Death Trooper next.
I've had a lot of people tell me and test it out on my shard. Especially, I got a couple of 7-star Scions on my shard. And the guys on it, they're like, we really want to make Death Trooper work on our team. And they're just like, it doesn't work. Like, I know. From what they've been doing is like, and I think he's one of those characters where everyone loves him so much that everyone just wants him to be good on a team and like try and force him into a team when he doesn't actually work.
Like, Death Trooper's kit is so good, and he's such a cool Star Wars character since they introduced him in Rogue One.
I fell in love with him. I wouldn't go, he's such an interesting character.
No, his movies, kit.
The kit's his good. Kit is, he's not that interesting.
I think he is.
No.
What, it probably should have gone into more depth on the Death Troopers.
What Death Troopers were, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's like having to research it.
Yeah, but no, you do want him. I mean, he is a cool character. You would think, too, with like just the amount of cooldown increase you could have with him and Nihilus, like that would be something that could cripple teams. But I agree, it's just it doesn't. You're putting him in there when you really probably don't need him over like another taunt. Or something like that, or a taunt in general. If you don't have Sion, so.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I think not a lot of people haven't saved it yet, so.
Yeah.
They're kind of holding that trigger.
Yeah.
See what people say.
Yeah.
Although, I could throw Imperial Probe Droid in. I might try that next.
Ooh, that could work.
I think I'm going to be up to, like, 40 shards of him after this next one. Yes!
I'm still testing, so.
Winning.
Yeah, I think mine's... Is mine almost done? I don't know. Probably soon. I haven't even really been paying attention.
Yeah. It should be done within the next... Either this TB or next TB.
Because
you do get probably 100 shards for him now.
Yeah. I wouldn't jump to that conclusion. I mean,
well, Dave's situation.
In Dave's situation, yes.
Probably 3 more for me, because I was bouncing around and wasn't always in a guild that was getting a lot of shards for him. But yeah, 3 more, and I'll have him. So it'll be looking up.
I don't even have him unlocked.
I haven't unlocked. I haven't, like, geared him yet, but I'm going to finish some other things. But so does anybody have any like, experience to your point of, like, talking about the new characters? I have almost nothing to say about Mar. Is that Mar? Is that you say her name?
Visa,
Mar?
We just call her Visa. Visa's
Mar.
Visa's Mar.
Just call her Visa.
Visa. Yeah. So, yeah. MasterCard Visa.
Yes.
She, mm-hmm. Yeah, because my account's tied to a MasterCard. I would say she looks like she'll be super interesting in the raid, right, because of her unique, but I, you know, nobody has her. At least I haven't seen her anywhere. I mean, like, I don't know a lot of people in the guild, obviously, if they chose one to go after, they went after Sion. So it's,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. I think probably, like, the true Krakens have her, but other than that, I haven't really had any experience with her. I've watched a bunch of videos, but that only tells you so much, right? All that kind of game changer footage, while it's super valuable and fun to look at, like, really doesn't give you the whole picture. And you want to be able to mess with her in multiple comps, see what works best. And that, I don't really know a lot of people that have had the opportunity to do that yet. So I think the jury's still out. I'm sure the kit's interesting. Obviously, a really good healer. Looks like has some functionality in the raid long term, but until people get a chance to, like, really dig in and use her, which hopefully they make her, you know, relatively, I could see her being the easier of the two from a farming perspective once they're released onto the board. Sion's going to go hard node only, we know that, but I could totally see, like, her maybe going to a store or something like that being a little bit easier to get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we have quite a few now who've started getting her 7-star, and definitely not really arena viable. Like, she's good on offense in arena, but who's not good on offense in arena?
Right, true.
Her defense, I heard, is kind of horrible. But in the raid, she's just a must-have.
Well, especially coming up.
Yeah, what comps are people are in right now? Do you know?
I think right now it's the JTR comps they threw in there.
Just for the extra damage, yeah. That makes sense.
And they're getting some good numbers with Visa.
Does she, like, push you over, like, 3 million, I guess, in heroic?
Oh, yeah. I mean, most people who were doing 3 mil without her are now doing, like, 5 mil. I know the guy we had on here last time, he's not even using Visa, and he's getting 12 mil with JTR.
For now.
Yeah, for now. I can't wait to rub it in his face. Oh, why can't they do this for, like, JTR in general?
You mean just, like, in the game, just nerf her?
Yes! Yes, just nerf her outright.
Does she really need to go away?
I mean, at this point, she doesn't need to go away.
Nah.
Screw JGR.
I mean, heck, Rex has almost caught up to her. Like, I mean, not almost. He's still Ray's at 23% of all team leads, and Rex is at 14. But Rex is climbing on her, and I mean,
Rex is never going to go away at this point.
No.
No, he is the free to play leader.
He's the first legit, like, crazy good lead in the game that I don't think they quite understood. But then he became so like obsolete with all the new leads coming in that it doesn't really matter.
Once Thrawn and CLS came in, it was just like, oh, never mind.
Yep, see ya. So we're talking about it. Let's get right into the raid, the new raid.
Right.
And not the raid itself, more or less the controversy. We'll just call it that, around the raid. So they announced that there's going to be some changes to the raid because some things were not working as intended. Or had circumstances that unforeseen, like some interaction. So, like, they may be working together, but the working correctly, they're just the interaction's bad. And mainly it's the Stormtrooper Han bug, where yes. Stormtrooper Han teams were doing 26 million in Phase 4.
Yeah, it's like basically a positive term meter lock.
Yeah, so they're fixing that. I don't know anyone in the game who's like, oh yeah, that's working as intended and normal. They should not do anything about that. So no, I think everyone's kind of like, yeah, it probably needs to be fixed.
Like we saw, like as soon as they found the Stormtrooper Han thing, everyone was like, they're gonna fix this pretty quick, and it deservingly so. I don't think hardly any people at all are going to complain about them fixing the Stormtrooper Han.
I'm honestly shocked it's not there now. Like, that they haven't put it in already. Like, I thought would put it out same day.
Yeah, we all know why.
No?
Because they're doing something else with it.
Oh, it's like, why? So the other thing that Coleman referred to is they're nerfing Expose. They haven't said exactly what they're going to be doing, though, have they?
I think they're
changing the amount of percent health damage Exposed does in all raids. And that's all raids. We don't know
how much.
That's all raids, so that's not just the new Sith one, that's Heroic AT, and that's Rancor. But they didn't say how much of a percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I bet they cut. I wouldn't be surprised if they cut it. They probably cut it in half, I bet.
Yeah, that's probably what I was thinking.
Yeah, but they cut it in half. But, I mean, remember, they're not... They are... At least we'll see how this bears out. I think the nerf is okay as long as they follow through with the way that they phrased it and then saying that they will then, like, tweak the overall health of the raid to be in line with where it should be. So it's not that they're... They're basically making it so that Jedi training raid teams aren't the only ones that can score well in the raid, but they're still letting you hopefully beat the raid. Now, this doesn't take into consideration the fact that most guilds won't be able to beat it once Stormtrooper Han bug is gone, or at least the ones that have been able to beat it, like a lot have relied on that. But like she still should be incredibly valuable. It's just she won't be the only team that can do damage, but the overall health of the raid should technically come down. Like that's how they meant. That's how they phrased it, and we'll see.
Right.
We'll see if that's in line with the amount of the nerf. And if it's not, then I'm sure people will complain, and Reddit will be unbearable. But
Reddit's already unbearable.
Well,
Reddit's always unbearable.
Even more so than it is right now. But so we'll see how they do that. I think there's a very delicate balance there, and they don't always get the delicate balance stuff right. But we'll see. So.
Yeah. Now, while we're kind of on this, I want to ask you to your thoughts on, are they going to do anything with Deathmark?
I don't think so.
I couldn't hear Ednar.
I would say no. I don't think they're going to change anything about it. I don't think it's as broken in raids as Exposes.
No, it's only 15k and it goes away so quickly.
Yeah, because I had a couple friends message me and they were talking about, oh hey, I think they're gonna nerf Deathmark along with Exposed. I'm like, nah, there's no way.
And considering only like Exposed, you can get from a bunch of different characters.
Yeah. If Deathmark's only available.
If Deathmark's only one character, then I don't think they're as worried about it.
Yeah, plus it's not giving a lot of turn meter, it's not or any turn meter at all. It's not really doing anything else aside from adding your damage.
Yeah, no. And this exposed thing worries me, though. Like Dave, you said, like, if they don't lower the overall, like, health of the Sith raid, and they nerf, like, let's say they nerf Expose and they reduce it in half, and they reduce the health of the Sith raid by, like, 1%. That, comparatively, is not equal. It really isn't.
I don't know if
they're going to do as much, and I think there's other things that they can do to this raid to make it better for everyone. And I talked a little bit about this before the show, is I think the whole we can't put debuffs on any of the raid bosses is hurting people. And pissing people off, to put it
bluntly. Yeah, well, I mean, lately I've noticed in the last heroic I did that offense down is applying a lot.
But how many of these teams are built on debuffs?
A lot, especially Dark Side.
And you take all of them out of contention of being useful in this raid by having them like this. The Sith teams, useless in this raid.
Mm-hmm.
You have a bonus for Night Sisters, yet you can't put debuffs on the characters, so Night Sisters are useless.
Well, actually, a lot of them were useless anyway, because they're kind of useless without zombie. And a lot of people don't have zombie 7 starred.
Yeah, true. But, like, I mean, so Sith and Night Sisters and Bounty Hunters have raid bonuses. Well,
yeah.
All three of those rely on debuffs. And not one of them can put a fucking debuff on the raid boss. So they're all useless. Jedi Training Rey has a buff. Well, you know what? Can't put Expose on. So, or you can, but that's getting nerfed. You know, Jedi Knight Anakin, he puts debuffs down. Well, sucks to be you. Commander Luke Skywalker, can't put his debuffs on the boss. So,
you can't even reduce the turn meter down.
So, like, that's useless. Like, I mean, I'm not saying those characters are useless, but giving them raid bonuses to characters that don't affect the raid at all, because you can't use them to their full ability, I think is hurting people. Because you have all these people out there who have really strong teams and who are crippled because they may have a heavy debuff team. Like, they may have arena teams that are heavy on debuffs and awesome, but they're useless. They might as well just register zeros in the raid because they're no help to their raid, their guild. That is what I think needs to change. I'm totally okay with the Expose nerf. I think it needs to be done because the power creep level of Expose, it will only get worse over time. I think that needed to be nerfed. I'm fine with it. I think the not being able to put debuffs on the raid boss is probably my second biggest complaint about the raid.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's my rant about the raid. Like, and I've heard it a lot. At least, it's not my normal, I hate this.
I think it's fair.
That's constructive.
You're not the only person that said...
Some valid points
in
that argument for once.
Yeah, for once, ouch.
Oh, you're a jackass.
No, he didn't. I mean, you're not the only person to say that. I mean, there was a post on Reddit earlier this week that got a ton of upvotes that pretty much said the same thing. Just the you know, a lot of people are really annoyed about, like, the unpredictability of Nihilus in phase one and how pain the ass Scion is in general and the entire thing. And Trey is phase three so broken right now. I don't think people have even gotten used to how annoying I'm sure that phase will be once it's not broken anymore. So, like, God knows what that'll look like.
I'm always scared of that trick of face.
Yeah. I think you're right. This raid is incredibly hard. But let's all, like, just pause for a second and recognize that, like, what they're going to do is introduce characters and or reroll very soon that will then give you the ability to do crazy damage. And I swear that I would be, and I mentioned, I think, this to you before the podcast, Ednar, like, I would be incredibly surprised that if one of the big keys to this raid doesn't end up being thermal detonators through bounty hunters once they rework that faction, which probably coming up, like, that's the, all the rumors hint that that's coming, right? People
like
talking
that,
about
that is most likely around the corner.
And remember, if you look at their, if you look at their, like, immune to this stuff, it doesn't say thermal detonators. They're going to give somebody a leadership ability or something that makes them, you know, irresistible, so that you, like, they're guaranteed to stick. And they're going to do tons of damage, and they won't proc counters, and they won't proc the stupid basic thing on Nihilus in the first phase, and you're going to be able to do, like, 5 million with bounty hunters. And everyone's going to be like, oh, shit, you need to have your bounty hunters. And no one has fucking bounty hunters, so then everyone's going to have to go and gear bounty hunters. Like, that's exactly what they're going to do. Like yeah. we don't – like, they're that's 100% what they're going to do. And they're going to do it with another faction, and they're going to do it with another faction, and then in, like, 3 months, people are going to be clearing heroic. Mm-hmm. And that's just, like, that's just what's going to happen. So I'll say this to everybody that listens to this podcast. Just be prepared to, like, pivot when this happens, because you're going to want to be one of the first people that gets these teams, because those are the being, those are going to be the people that are going to be, like, reaping the rewards really quickly in the beginning, because you're going to be the ones that can do 10, 15 plus million damage while you kill a heroic raid. That's what's going to happen. It's the same and, with the people that had Tebow ready for the Rancor, and the people that had, you know, droids and stuff ready for HAT, like, and the first people that have clones. Remember, everybody, the first people that had clones, the advantage they had in their cult?
Oh, they, like, wrecked.
That is 100% what's going to happen, and I'm, like, my money right now is that it'll be bounty hunters. That's my money right now.
Well, and, you know, it's the same. It's a very interesting point you brought up, Dave, because I kind of have the same opinion, actually, almost the exact same opinion. If you really want to see what the thermal detonators can do, you know, if you have good Jawas, throw a full team of Jawas out there and let them stack the thermal detonators on.
Yeah, I've already seen there's been some people posting, like, pretty good damage. I haven't seen a heroic yet of it, but
no. My Jawas are nowhere near good enough to go to heroic.
I've definitely seen some, like, you know, pretty decent scores in like, Tier 5 and Tier 6 raids, and it shows that that mechanic is going to work. It's just that, like, heroic's too hard for those characters to survive right now, but with reworks, they will.
Oh, yeah, but with, I mean, I feel like if you have, like, Gear 11 Jawas for whatever God knows reason, maybe, like, the Jawas, I don't know.
Oh, by the way, hold on, Coleman. Dave, Coleman has a 7-star wicket.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's okay. Why wouldn't he?
Because he hates them.
Yeah, but doesn't he have, like, a 7-star everything?
Yeah, but no. But 7-star gear what?
Hang on. I'm looking.
Yeah, he actually geared him up.
Where'd he go? I don't know where he went.
Wicket's good. The Ewoks are fun.
Meh.
He's gear 6 right now.
Okay. I thought you had him up to, like, 10 or 11.
No.
I thought Dave would be a lot happier about that.
So,
I'm still, only... I mean, yeah, I'm happy that he has Wicket. I mean, Wicket's a good character.
So,
they're all good.
Ednar, the only reason I have a 7-star Wicket is because of the Endor escalation event.
So you can get a Zeta.
So I can get the Zetas, plus you don't actually have to use Ewoks for that to get the Zetas.
All right, fair enough.
So I throw Sith or I throw troopers in, I just hit auto.
Yeah.
All right, go back to your Jawa explanation.
But, okay, so if you have, like, if you throw the Jawas in the raid, there's so many AoEs going out there from those raid bosses, they're going to proc at least 3 to 5 thermal detonators on top of them every time they've used that AoE. Let them blow up with either a scrap grenade or just let them blow up by themselves, and you're going to start accumulating damage right there.
Yeah.
Use it with bounty hunters, you know, just throw a scavenger in there, whatever. That's a 3 thermal detonator each time you hit scavenger. Then Zam uses her special, gives Terminator everybody, and then whatever else goes off. But definitely, I agree with Dave 100%. All the signs are pointing toward bounty hunters right now. all the other factions, everything else, all the other bonuses in the raid have pretty good characters. Bounty hunters are crap. And they know about it.
Yeah, I mean, bounty hunters have been crap for a while.
Yeah. Boba's been about the only viable one.
Yeah, and the only reason people have him now is because of his ship. Like, yeah. He was good back in the day, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Back when, like, Zol and Vader got their very first Zetas, when the Zetas came out, Boba Fett was a man.
Yeah, because people had never seen crit damage like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I ran a Boba Fett with Wiggs, and I remember the first time I put this, like, Boba Fett Wiggs hybrid team in, I think with, like, Baze and GK as the tanks, and my shard for, like, the first day I had it in there was like, well, this isn't fun anymore. Because, like,
we hate you.
Because, like, the Wiggs assist was just stupid. Like, yeah, the amount of damage with the extra crit, you're just like, well, someone's dead. Like, and obviously that didn't last for incredibly, for that long, but... Boba was great, and like he was actually one of the first quick counters to Chaze when that happened because he could one shot either one of them once they got enough buffs on them. So
well, he could ability block and he could just ignore the taunt and be like, okay, who do I take out?
Yep. But his leadership ability about the turn meter around the detonators, right? I mean, like you alluded to, Coleman, like that's once they rework it so that detonators are like viable, or they bring in other characters that, you know, allow them to be created more often or stick more often or whatever it is, or make them unresistible, or, you know, whoever it is, whether it's Jango or Bosk. Probably Jango or Bosk. I can't see them adding any other bounty hunters to this game. Probably. Right.
There's a few out there I want to see.
Yeah.
Obviously, Embo's on the table.
Yeah. Oh, and that, what's it? Forlom? Maybe him?
Oh, that the bug one?
Yeah, maybe him. But other than that, yeah. I can't think of anybody.
Aura Sing, because she's what's it called? Canon.
Yeah, that's true.
She's all over the Clone Wars, so.
That could work. That's true. That could work, yeah.
Because she would have a really good synergy with Boba.
Hmm. Yeah, I could see that.
Or, you know, Hondo.
He's not a bounty hunter.
Make it work.
When the pirate faction makes an appearance in this game, I'll say, okay, Hondo's coming.
I will. All right, so I'm going to disagree semi with you guys, just because it's, you know, it's what I do. I think bounty hunters are going to get a rework. I said this loud in the last week's show. I think bounty hunters are going to get a rework. Not because the faction will get a rework. I think scoundrels will get a rework.
That'll be interesting.
Because, so here's my theory on this. And I said this last week, is the logging character of the game of the month is Stormtrooper Han. What is Stormtrooper Han? Well, he's a scoundrel. Well, all bounty hunters are under scoundrels. So if they rework scoundrels, de facto, bounty hunters get a rework as well.
All of them?
Yeah.
No, I can't. That's hard.
They're not all scoundrels, though.
Yeah, they are.
They're all listed in the game as scoundrels. So you're looking at Zam, you know, Greedo, Dengar, Boba Fett, Cad Bane, all scoundrels.
I would almost wonder then if during the reworks they rework the tags.
That's true. No, you're right. Yeah, they do have to rework the tags, though.
But Hondo could be made a scoundrel very easily, I think. You could give him a scoundrel tag. Just saying. It's possible. But take Hondo out of it. We've overlooked Stormtrooper Han being the logging character. Like, last month we had Sith Trooper. He got a minor rework, and then we got a Sith raid. Well, Stormtrooper Han, what are we going to get from Stormtrooper Han being the logging character?
Well, he's only been reworked once.
Yeah, the only thing that makes sense from his kit is Scoundrel. Because they're not going to do a Rebel rework. He's already been used. The only other thing I can think of is the CLS event. Don't you have to use him for that?
Yeah.
Like, that's the only other thing I could think of. But a scoundrel rework makes more sense. Because then you could introduce Django, you could introduce Embo, and they could all fit under the scoundrel and not just bounty hunters.
Well, the thing about your theory that kind of scares me a little bit is when they rework Lando.
Or when Woody Harrelson comes in the game.
No. Well, he probably will, but still, I don't want him.
Woody Harrelson. So,
Scoundrel. All right, I'm on board.
You with had scoundrel to, you just, did you just Google fact check me to make sure that bounty hunters were under scoundrels?
I 100% am not on the Swagga scoundrel page. 100% I'm not. Totally okay. Not.
I you know he
what? Game open looking
I,
at it.
I do not believe you.
I am totally on the scoundrel page right now, and you are correct. I did fact check you, but you are right. But I'm also now looking in like. Realizing that, like, there isn't a character on this list that isn't ready for, like, they're literally all primed for reworks except, like,
Han.
Like, Han and Rain then Han. Probably Captain Han. Yes. Like, because they're not really going to rework him, but, like, you know, one of the more interesting ones about a rework and just because of his kit and how relevant he once was and how relevant he hasn't been in so long is Lando.
Yeah, that like I said, I'm really scared to find out what they do with Lando eventually.
I do not think they're going to touch him.
Well, but he only, but he's one of those characters similar to like how we have always been waiting for Palp, like we because we knew he had a level 7 to a level 7 unique and a level 7 leader. So does Lando. So he's got
two.
Yeah.
Here is why they will not rework Lando. We will be getting a new Lando when the movie comes out in May.
Wouldn't that just signal for a rework for the original Lando? Because that's what they did with Han.
They didn't do that with CLS. Did they?
Yeah, they did.
Oh,
yeah.
Did they? Oh, yeah, they reworked him into still being useless.
Who?
Old Farm Boy. And don't say anything. Yeah, I don't think... They may give him... What, does he even have Omegas?
Yeah, he's got two. Omegas, but not on those two abilities.
Not on his leader. And
I don't think they're going to give him a big rework at all because they're going to have a new Lando come into the game.
I guess. I don't know. Do we know for sure that that movie isn't going to stink?
I'm going to put money on it not being bad. Like, it's going to be a good movie.
It's going to be okay.
Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure it's going to be
good? All right. What in Star Wars Star Wars Disney past has shown you that this movie is gonna suck? Was Rogue One bad?
No, Star Wars stories are actually pretty good. I gotta admit, but the trilogy.
Yeah, so I have faith that they're gonna do good. They have Drakkar, Emilia Clarke, who's quite attractive.
If we get a Amelia Clark in the game, I'm going to flip.
Oh, I think, yeah. So, we're not getting on the same tangent we did last week, Coleman. That turned into...
I know. We got to stop this.
That turned into some form of incest and just bad.
All right, so...
But I think nobody is reaching into the Stormtrooper Han logging character and, like, kind of glossing over it with all the new stuff. So, no. I'm calling Scoundrel Rework.
Okay.
Not a bad call. Not a bad call.
Nope, not at all.
I mean, we're going to be getting a fifth Han, so... You know, it's about time. Get a five-man Han team.
Galaxy of Han.
Yeah.
We've been waiting for the five-man Han team.
Mm-hmm. Ever since the four-man Han team.
Yep. And before that, the three-man Han team.
So. Yep.
And I think
and before that, the two-man Han team.
And then you had the one.
Yeah, there was just one.
Okay. At one time, there was one.
We are dorks, but let's move on.
We've also been playing this game for a long time.
We were actually talking before this, Coleman. Way do you long. Remember when the AAT came out?
I believe it was around September. It was weird because I was in basic training at the time,
so I was a little out of touch with the world.
Yeah, it was 2016.
Yeah, October of 2 years ago.
Was it really that long ago?
Yeah, yes. October 2016. I was like, whoa. Like, I remember that when that first came out and they had to nerf the raid. After a little while.
Hmm.
The the
heroic.
No, not the heroic. They nerfed the other one.
Oh, they did nerf the other one?
No, the heroic never got changed. The heroic was what it was. They nerfed the whatever before that. There was only two tiers, right?
There's only two tiers.
Yeah, there's normal and heroic. So they nerfed normal. Normal used to take like a week for people when it first came out. Because, if not longer.
Because we didn't have some Zeta people, Kylo.
Yeah, some people literally took it. Literally took people, right? Like, I think there was multiple guilds on Reddit that said it took them a month to beat it.
Yeah.
And then they nerfed it so that it was like even those guilds beat it in like a day or with one refresh. Like, it was not. They like totally just were like, all right, this is stupid, which is probably fair. To my point earlier before the podcast too, like, they've never done a good job of making these raids super relevant to you if you weren't doing heroic, which has always been a downside to them. Like, it always felt like unless you were doing heroic, like, who cares? I think that's probably not the ideal way for these things to be built, but it is what it is. And since I've always been spoiled and kind of always been doing heroic from the get-go for most of these things. So, as I'm sure, you know, Coleman, you're familiar with that, like, you get a little spoiled in that way, but I can imagine it's just underwhelming sometimes with these raids if you're not doing the top tier. So, but yeah, they had to nerf it, but it's so long ago. It's crazy how long ago that was.
And now, while we're also on the subject with the nerf and everything coming to JTR, do you remember how hard heroic ADT was at first?
Oh yeah,
it was hard. It sucked.
Yeah.
Dude, part of the reason why I love, like, this, I hadn't got a chance to really sit down with the mechanics of this raid because I've been so busy. I finally got a chance to do it last night while I had to do my phase two runs with Rey and troopers, and like sitting there and trying to get the turn order right and like trying to maximize your damage. Like, I hadn't sat with that or raid with that since like the first time we had to beat heroic HAT. And like, I sat in phase two for like 2 hours trying to get the perfect droid run. And like, you know, desperately trying to get like a million and a half damage. And there was something about that, as tedious and as crazy as that sounds, that like was invigorating to like have that again, because it had been so long since like realistically had to sit down with hard content and like try to accomplish and try to do as best as you can. Because like, while territory battles for some people were hard, like, once you had the right team, you may as well hit auto. So, right. Like, in this, it's like, even if you've got like the right team, you've got to move by move think about who's the right person to attack here. Should I attack an ad? Do I have to, you know, should I just, you know, who do I have to put in stealth? Who do I have to give evasion to? Like, or with Imperial troopers, like, making sure you time it right to like ensure that you have death mark up like every single time you want to have it up, and make sure that you have death mark up, and then make sure you're going to have viewers assist everybody up. Like, that type of stuff is interesting because it's been so long since you've had to realistically think that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with people jumping on bandwagons of, hey, this game takes too much time, and now you have to put time into this Sith raid. But that's what makes it fun. That's what makes it challenging, and I love this.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm wondering when, because so eventually the, like, everyone will have this on farm.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And the thing I worry about is, so what do people do when that comes around and then people get bored with it and they can't auto? Like, because you can't auto. I know this is something for down the road, but like, you legit cannot auto anything in this raid.
Yeah, but you couldn't in the HAT either, and you couldn't in the Rancor before either. Like,
yeah.
You're going to eventually be able to do that. Like, they will trust me, they will break the raid eventually, and they'll do it in very specific ways.
How can you break the raid when there's mechanics built into the raid to prevent you from doing that?
Because you break the mechanics.
But you can't break the mechanics if you don't... Like, there's an extra action button that you have to use to do well in the raid that, if you auto, does not get hit. It's like any other raid. I've done many of raid encounters where there's been an extra action button. I don't know if anyone out there plays WoW or played WoW when Dragon Soul Raid came out. And I know this is dorky of me, but there was a button for a raid boss called Atraxian. You could sit there and hit buttons all along, but if you didn't hit that extra action button, you would die. And that's how this raid is set up.
So they definitely will never auto that?
I have...
Ever?
Yes, I have autoed a good portion of my battles. Because I just don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
I've autoed, and no, they do not.
It's weird. I mean, because, like, if you have, what's the name, if you use Thrawn leadership ability, they still will auto the extra button.
But they specifically said when they announced the raid that this is not autoable. Like, they made a point to point that out, that they made sure that this was not autoable.
Now... They're going to change that eventually.
They would have to change that mechanic eventually. Because if you can't clear any of the stacks off some of these raid bosses, no mechanic is going to get you, unless the mechanic is, every time you take damage, heal for twice that amount. Okay. So...
You know, don't give them mechanics like that, Ednar. They'll put them in the game.
Well, you know what? They probably will anyway.
Yeah, right? Wait till you see what Jedi Luke has as his kit. Just wait.
Yeah, if they follow the strength of the characters, there was a comic with Luke where he actually pulled a cruiser out of the sky and made it crash. So if it's anything below that, I'm going to be pissed.
Like, if you have him on your roster, you win all your ship battles too, just because he doesn't need a ship.
He just there's a button you press and he pulls all the other ships out of orbit and make them crash.
Right now it doesn't. The auto thing, I think, is a long term. That's probably something they'll have to address. For right now, it's.
Yeah, it no, matter. It's not for something right now.
Yeah.
So, all right, one other thing I wanted to talk about is raid teams. Specifically, raid teams that have no Rey and no BB-8.
Yeah.
That's what's holding a lot of people back. Me included, because I have BB-8, but I don't have Rey. So, sure.
So you know what you need?
Right.
Magma Trooper.
Fuck you.
Troopers.
Yeah, I have troopers. I do not have Magma Trooper geared up.
No, even troopers without Magma will still do well.
Yeah. So, we were talking about this. So, like, trooper team. What is the best trooper team? Obviously, you want, Veers lead?
Yeah, there's no trooper team without Veers.
Stark. Yeah. Death Trooper. Probably Shore Trooper.
Yeah.
Because that heal in this raid is going to be huge. And then the fifth is a mishmash of where nobody quite knows the best to put in there. So you say Magma Trooper, but nobody should actually put gear on Magma Trooper.
I don't know, man. You'd be surprised.
No. I won't be, because I won't do it.
We've all watched some videos, and it's been a thing now in my guild. I'm starting to see Magma Trooper pop up on the... Everyone's gearing him up.
You're a horrible person for leading people down that path.
Mm. Aren't you a horrible person for not recommending him?
Not really, because it's Magma Trooper. So
he's actually legitimately good.
Okay. So let's say, take Magma Trooper out of it. Do you use someone like Stormtrooper, Snowtrooper? Do you put Thrawn in there? Because I've seen that as well, even though he's not a trooper.
So Dave uses Thrawn in his JTR team.
Yeah. But you can use Thrawn in the troopers.
Yeah.
Too.
If you don't want to use Thrawn in the troopers and you don't have Magma like Ednar does and is not willing to gear him up like Ednar. So like Ednar, you should use Snowtrooper. Like Ednar.
Okay. Now,
not getting Magma Trooper, piece of crap.
I mean, alright, so Snowtrooper, Magma Trooper. Is there anyone else?
Trooper team? No.
No, alright, the only other one I was thinking possibly is Krennic, just because of the synergy with Death. Probably not ideal.
Yeah, he's just going to do more damage with other teams.
Okay. I just didn't know. Like, I mean, when you think Death Trooper, you think Krennic and Death Trooper, because they work so well together. But
yeah, in their original arena viability, yes, agreed.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to probably do Snow Trooper. Which I'm fine with. I mean, I don't have them super geared up, but I think I have Snowtrooper at 10, Veers and Stark at 11, and Death Trooper and Shore Trooper at 12. So, they're not beasts, but they're not bad.
You
only really need one Zeta. You only really, truly need Veers Zeta to make the team work.
Yeah.
Okay, so outside Troopers, what would be another team that you guys have worked with?
Well, a team that I've seen used a lot is like Akbar lead Hermit Yoda with Leia. You can use a variation on the other two characters you put on that team, but you basically need Akbar and Leia. You can then use Hermit Yoda if you want to. I've seen a lot of GK can be in there. People have used Zaris. There's been other various comps that have used it. The basic point of it is that through Akbar's lead, Leia stealths and then can just go to town on Sion. And or probably you don't really want it to be Nihilus because of his stupid basic thing. But with Sion, you'll avoid the counters, and the team can do, depending on comp, can do over a million, which sounds like it's not a lot. But when you think about the characters, when you think about the fact you don't necessarily have to have Hermit Yoda, and it's really just like Akbar, Leia, and GK, and like two other decent characters, and that can really change. It's a team that a lot of people would be able to build quickly, and still be able to help their guilds complete a heroic if you don't have Jedi Training Ray and don't have Imperial Troopers. Obviously, those two teams are super important. We'll see what ends up happening with Phase 3 after the nerf and how people have to get through that, because right now I think most guilds are cheesing it. But that's like the one other team, at least so far, that certainly Yavin used a lot that was super viable. It's definitely a team that can do some good damage, so something to consider.
Mm-hmm. I was going to go along the line of if you're looking for a quick, like, million point two is First Order.
Oh, yeah, with a crew lead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they have survivability, because they're just buffing themselves. They're not really depending on debuffs. And they can do some good damage in there.
Yeah.
Now, when you say First Order team, you say crew lead, but who else do you put with the crew lead?
So Special Forces TIE Fighter pilot, which he's free to play now, so pretty easy to get. Kylo Ren masked, so both Kylo Rens. And then, what's his name? First Order Stormtrooper and the officer.
Yeah, officer. I was going to say probably need officer.
Yeah, for offense up and advantage.
Yep.
Okay.
And then once First Order Executioner is available to everyone, I would use First Order Executioner.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll do some pretty crazy damage.
Yeah, I've used him in there, and he's hit 60k per hit. With Special Forces, he goes quite often.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Mm-mm.
No,
yeah,
that's
not, like, that's a team people are going to be a little further behind on, but it is farmable.
Yeah, it's very farmable, especially probably Execution is going to get released here pretty soon to a node or somewhere in a store.
Yeah, I would imagine he would. He's the next one to come up, right?
Yeah.
I know he just hit shipments last update, so.
Okay. Yeah, because I know he's the last kind of free, like, marquee type character that came out that we haven't gotten. Well, he's not the last one, though. But he's the most recent. He'll be the most recent release to free to play.
If that
makes sense.
He'll be the next one to go free, completely free to play.
So that'll be good. I mean,
yeah.
I think a lot of people are just waiting for that to come around. I know I am because I'm building a First Order team. I have a Zeta on crew already.
Yeah. And I think definitely First Order Executioner, you should probably grab him.
Yeah.
Because he's not bad at all.
No, he's not. That's another faction. I mean, I'm surprised we never got... Because I think we're past the Last Jedi character releases.
Yeah,
I'm surprised we didn't get any other First Order characters.
I'm a little surprised, too. Like
Hux or... God, the Praetorian Guards, Snoke.
Yeah, because that between Resistance and First Order, it's heavily favored in Resistance.
Yeah, we didn't get a resist. Like, I mean, I assumed we'd have to use Resistance to unlock a legendary, and we'd have to use First Order to unlock a legendary, and
yeah,
we didn't. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, BB-8, but.
That I mean, we still haven't had to use Resistance to unlock a legendary, so...
Which we will, eventually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It'd be funny if May the 4th we get Hux.
Matt the Radar Tech.
Matt the Radar... God, that'd be funny. You know everyone would grab him, too.
Oh, God, everyone. Have to.
Yeah, you that's just like a gimmick kind of thing, like, okay, I have to have him.
So, okay, I guess that... I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of news that came out this week.
Nah, there'll be stuff this week. Probably the nerf, I bet.
The nerf will come out this week with some other information.
You know, and we'll talk about it.
Because
we don't really know how bad it's going to be yet.
Yeah, that'll probably be most of next week's podcast. Hopefully, if they do nerf it this week, hopefully we get a run in on the new raid, at least in preparation for next pod, so we can talk about that. And, you know, they're probably due to give us something else cool this week, I would think.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Hopefully we get like a hint, like, hey, Bounty Hunter reworks around the corner.
Something like that. Yeah, like a good hint. Yeah, a good hint. A hint would make sense.
We need a what's ahead.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah,
Django legendary.
Like, stay tuned. I think that was the last one we got.
Yeah, and I think that was definitely in compliance to Sith Raid.
Yeah. So
stay tuned for details on that.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I think we totally need another one.
Yep, it's time.
Alright, well, you guys chatting about
Yes.
Rebels. Alright, well,
I'm gonna tell you about that.
I will bid our listening audience adieu. I have one shout out real quick if I can do that, and then
of course.
I'll Cool. Just I want to shout out to Narfink and Yavin. Don't know if he listens to the podcast, may or may not, but he was a superstar with the Heroic on all night, giving people tips for their teams and different comps to run and just, you know, what percentages to go for and stuff like that. And I really, you know, helped the guild to, you know, certainly the cheese in phase 3 and 4 makes it feel less of an accomplishment than maybe, you know, certainly the HAT did, but still getting through phase 1 and 2, it's not like this raid's easy. So, you know, I think people were pretty excited about that and, you know, thought he did a pretty kick-ass job. So wanted to call that out. And, yeah, so anyway, that's it. You guys enjoy your rebel chat.
All right, will do. Thanks, Dave.
All right, bye.
Okay, so, all right, disclaimer. We are going to start Rebels Talk in 3, 2, 1. Okay.
Bye.
Holy crap. All right, so yeah. The end of Rebels blew my mind, and not just for the... Like, all right, I honestly thought more people were going to die. And they had one death of, like, the main characters. And that was Kanan. And
yeah.
I think he was the obvious one to die.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was a full-fledged Jedi, and Ezra was not. That could be why he was not felt by Yoda or any of them. Because he was not a full-blown Jedi. So, Kanan's dead. Alright, I was actually super sad about that, but he needed to die.
He really did need to die.
The thing that... Go ahead.
In order to progress that story to the final note of that series, Kanan did... His death was necessary.
Mm-hmm. So, the thing that blows my mind about this is they legit introduced time travel into Star Wars. Like, in canon, yeah. Now, there is time travel. It is possible to travel back in time.
Yeah, it's because it's still possible because that temple's still there.
And it's possible to travel forward in time. Mm-hmm. So, what people may not have realized is, you know, when Ezra, so Ezra and, you know, Sabine go in, they go into the other dimension or whatever you want to call it, the secret portal. They go back in time. Ezra saves Ahsoka from the Vader, whatever.
No, Sabine never goes in with him. It's just
yeah,
Ezra.
But Sabine was with Ezra.
But she was on the outside.
She was on the outside. She didn't go in.
She was not a Force user. So.
But Ezra saved Ahsoka. So right. While they were talking about it, like while they were talking, you heard bat noises in the background. You heard movie quotes from Star Wars movies. And you mm-hmm. heard movie quotes from future Star Wars movies.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you're hearing Princess Leia. You're hearing Rey. You're hearing, you know, Maz. That's another one. Maz Kanata. So she was the only non, like, actual, like, Force user whose voice was inside this, which leads us to believe she is a Force user or Force sensitive, kind of like Leia is.
Well, I would almost say Maz is more like Bendu.
Okay.
So not really a... Well, she is a Force user, but she is more... More than just, like, a Jedi, or more than just a Force user.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, it proves that she's something other than just a bar owner.
Right. Yeah, I think she's along the line of what Bendu is. Like, she's one with the Force. Kind of like almost what Chirrut was. Almost kind of like maybe a mix between Bendu and Chirrut.
Mm-hmm. So...
That's kind of my feeling.
They introduce all this into the Star Wars universe, and... I did not see that coming. I don't think many people saw time travel coming.
No, I didn't think they'd go that way with canon.
So they did that, which was surprising in itself. Now, there were a lot of other things. And the main one I want to talk to you about, Coleman, is how do you feel about what they did with Ezra and Thrawn?
It was very interesting, and I think what caught my attention the most is that they took the entire ship with them. Ezra's still alive, because Ahsoka, I guess, is going out to look for him. At the same space time, whales. Too, yeah, space whales, who go figure, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, though, we have Thrawn a lot, the new Thrawn book coming out, Thrawn Alliances, which I'm assuming is going to pick up right where, you know, Thrawn gets jetted off into hyperspace somewhere with Ezra, and Vader comes in to rescue Thrawn.
Yeah.
And that's when they form the Alliance.
Yeah, I mean, they could do it in the book, they could do it in, they could really do it in another cartoon, because they said they're working on more cartoon Star Wars.
Yeah, well, actually, I think what they're working on now is the live-action Star Wars.
The live action, yes, that Jon Favreau is writing.
Yeah, but I don't know what.
But there's another show that they're looking at another cartoon. It's just
interesting.
I think
I would probably watch it too.
Well, the thing here's my theory on it is I think they threw Ezra and Thrawn into the outer realm, outer limits, or whatever you want to call it. Away from everything else, so they could write their own story. Because they're very limited in the universe they're in now. It was like, okay, we're coming up on this. Everyone knows what comes next. We have to stop our story then. Whereas now they're in a whole new area, they can create their own universe out there with those two.
It really depends on if your theory is right, where they end up putting Ezra and Thrawn, because Thrawn is heavily from the unexplored region.
Mm-hmm.
He is from there. He knows a lot about it. He has contacts. He's still part of the Chiss Ascendant, part of the Chiss, which is from the unknown regions. So he's already got a big base and foundation in the unknown regions.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, and it's smart to have Sabine and Fulcrum go after him, probably out there, because with them still alive, how else do you explain them not being in canon?
Right.
Anywhere else?
So they went over that Endor already happened when they went out to search for him.
Yep. They did like the "this is what happens in the future" type of thing.
And we all know, okay, so now it's where they're going to look for him after Endor happens, yada, yada, yada. But that's, if you read the original Thrawn trilogy books, that's kind of when Thrawn makes his reappearance.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if somehow, some way, they find Ezra, bring him back, but Thrawn chases after them, taking him back to that universe, seeing the Empire in ruin.
Like, I'm very intrigued, because I could see them doing, because what's-his-name is doing another trilogy of Star Wars not related to the Skywalkers.
Yeah.
This could be a pretty good trilogy, like, based around this. Like, the first one is about Fulcrum and Sabine going out to find and rescue Ezra. And, you know, all that stuff. The second movie can be about, like, tracking down Thrawn and, you know, taking care of everything. And then the third one can be the big battle and all that stuff. We haven't heard the end of this in outside of books and movies. Like, yeah. Sorry, books and comics. They're not going to end this in books and comics, I don't think.
No. I wouldn't even be opposed to them to the new trilogy just being the three Thrawn books. I think that would make a pretty good movie right there.
Yeah. The worst thing they could have done is kill off Thrawn in this.
Oh, the fan base would have been in holy crap riots.
Yeah.
If they didn't follow the books, and because he is that iconic villain. Even in Rebels, if you didn't know who he was, you immediately latched onto him as, holy shit, who is this guy? This guy is fucking frightening.
Yep. So, it was great. It was probably the best final 4 or 5 episodes of a TV show I've seen in a long time.
Yeah. I'll like, it was very, this last season was very interesting. They got into a lot of Force user points, a lot of Jedi points, and it was really entertaining, actually.
Yeah. Now, the one thing I could have done without is the Hera Kanan baby.
Yeah, that was a little much. I was like...
First off, that was the ugliest baby I've ever seen.
Yeah. What, that purple hair?
Yeah, it was just weird.
Was it Kanan and Sabine's baby?
Yeah. no. So, like, Kanan and Hera had a baby. Probably, I'm assuming, Force-sensitive. But it's just...
Oh, you know what? You know what? He's the blonde-haired child at the end of the new movie.
Oh, Lord. No. Because that would mean Hera's dead, and she hasn't died yet, because she was in Rogue One.
Rogue One was before Endor, way before Endor.
Okay, then the kid can't be. That can't be the kid. Unless Rogue One was within a year of the end of The Last Jedi.
No, I think you're thinking, what's it called? Return of the Jedi.
You're talking about the kid at the end of The Last Jedi that's Force sensitive?
Yeah.
That can't be their kid. Because Hera was still alive in Rogue One. Like, this all happened prior to Rogue One.
You're messing up. You're saying Rogue One, and then Hera's still alive at the end of Endor, which that's when she has the kid.
Yeah, well, it has to be close. It's not like, you know, it's an infinite amount of time she can be knocked up. She has essentially like a 9-month window to have this baby.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying from the end of Endor to the end of The Last Jedi, you know, no. That was more than, like, 5 years.
Eh, okay.
Your math just does not add up.
Just trying to have some fun here, so.
Yeah. So, that way, I mean, all right, we could go on for a while. I just wanted to talk about this with someone because I haven't been able to. And I'm looking forward to their next shenanigans that they get into.
Yeah, because it wasn't a bad series. I could have gone with a little less shenanigans in season one, but...
They had a lot of fluff episodes, but they ended it really strong. Like, they did real good to end this.
Yeah. The ending was great. The last season was fantastic.
So. All right, well, fantastic. Well, everyone, you guys have yourself a wonderful night. Coleman, you have yourself a wonderful night.
That's the first time you ever said that to me.
It probably is, because I don't mean it.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, everyone, have a good one.